On Monday, March 28th, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed HB 1557, the notorious Don't Say Gay bill, into law. This bill is part of an unprecedented wave of legislation targeting queer and trans youth with potentially deadly consequences. And to put it bluntly, but in a very family-friendly way, that's not cool at all. At least through the month of April, because that's as far ahead as I've thought about this for right now. Me putting my money where my mouth is. Every bit of proceeds that Play Comics brings in, the Patreon money, anything from merch stores, anything that people just randomly decide to give me for whatever reason, is going to be going to Equality Florida. I don't have personal ties to the state of Florida, but so far, my home state hasn't decided to do something crazy like this, so I'm going to help out one who has. If you're one of those people that needs to get something in order to do charitable donation type stuff, Explain the X-Men has a program that they're doing. I have a link down in the show notes. I'm trying to future-proof this so that I can run this before every episode, and they can change their mind on things. So be sure to check out the show notes and follow the link there to see what kind of things you can get for donating. But really, this is the kind of thing you should be helping out, because it's something that just needs to get done, and not to get some kind of reward coming back your way in exchange for generosity. Because this is definitely not a time to just sit back and let things happen.
I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com show, a weekly geek news podcast that is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, where once again we are looking at a video game based on a comic property and how well it represents that source material. This time I have Didge from Geekset Podcast here to look at X-Men Wolverine's Rage. Didge, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man. It's a snowy day here in Wisconsin, but doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm going to just completely rub it in your face, and 75 here in Charleston.
Oh, I wish. I think it's 11 last I saw.
I would love it. Honestly, my perfect temperature is like 40s. I like the cold, but I'm not a big fan of snow.
I do not like the cold. Every winter, I say, why do I live in a place where I hate about half the year? But I stay, so.
Well, at least it's not Marvel Canada. You got to give it credit for that.
That's fair. That is fair. I couldn't deal with that at all.
On top of the cold weather, you have Weapon X doing everything. You have Alpha Flight jumping in there. You have all the other just whatever crazy Marvel Canadian things going, because for some reason Canada is evil. And this is how we have Wolverine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how he deals. Well, I guess with an adamantium skin, you can deal with it, but I wouldn't be able to.
So what was it about Wolverine that jumped out on this list and made you want to look at this game with me?
Honestly, it was, one, I love X-Men just in general. So I've played probably, I can't think of an X-Men game that I haven't at least tried. And I used to go everywhere with my Game Boy. Like, when I remember getting it for Christmas, it was one of those typical things where your parents, they tell you, oh, you're not gonna get this game. No, don't even think about getting that. And then when you open the present, it's there, like, you know, the Game Boy is there. So that already in and of itself was just extreme nostalgia, being able to look back at the times with that. And it was one of those games in my memory. I remember playing it so much. Like, I went back to play it during the course of, you know, preparing for this, and it wasn't quite the same as I remember it, but immediately going back into it, I'm like, oh, I can remember sitting on my couch, you know, watching TV and playing this, you know, my brother doing whatever. And it was just that, like, I knew seeing that game, it was the nostalgia.
And this is right in the heyday of Wolverine being everywhere. So it doesn't surprise me that he got another game all to himself.
I guess I didn't think about that at the time. Obviously, I was way too young to be thinking about, oh, Wolverine's everywhere. I was just loving it. Like I said, I am a huge Wolverine fan. So it was, yeah, my favorite character is here. He's there. I no matter where I'm looking, I can get something that's Wolverine. So that's always cool.
What is it about Wolverine that makes him your favorite?
It was the, he's kind of a loner, but he's like, he was cool. So like, he was more so like, I'm gonna do my own type of thing. It's all about me. But he had like that cool factor. Like, I know my brother, he was a huge Gambit fan for sort of the similar reasons, where it's like, they seemed cool. Like, I wasn't a huge Cyclops fan because he just sort of seemed like a narc. And Wolverine just seemed like the opposite of that. It's like, well, he's the guy who kind of messes with the narc, so I'm gonna like him.
I mean, that logic just works perfectly anyway. The thing with this game too is that it's not based on a particular story, as far as I can tell. It's not based on any cartoon, anything, although it does have that ad for X-Men Extreme, I think it was, at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, that seems a little weird to me that they wouldn't just base it off of that.
Yeah, when I went back to play it again, for some reason, I thought it was based off of just either some story. But then, yeah, like, when I started playing it again, I'm like, this is literally just a story they plucked out of nowhere. And essentially, like you said, it was during that time where Wolverine was everywhere. So I think they just needed another story. Like, hey, we want to throw some things together. I couldn't picture, at least, unless I missed the comic run, yeah, I don't think it's based off of anything.
Well, in all of my research, there is nothing that it's based on. So,
okay, that makes sense then.
Because I guess there just aren't enough Wolverine stories that they couldn't find one.
Right. I mean, there are so many you could pluck from, but the overall storyline was kind of interesting. I didn't think it was a horrible one, but I guess it wasn't also the greatest.
So how familiar are you with the, I guess, more the bosses in this game than anything else? Because as far as every other villain goes, they're just kind of there.
Sure. So Lady Deathstrike and Sabretooth, I was definitely more familiar with than Cable. And I don't know if that's just because I missed a lot of the runs that Cable was in, but that one, he seemed more like they just needed to add a third villain. So that way you're not just going back and forth fighting Lady Deathstrike and Sabretooth over and over again. Because, I mean, if I remember correctly, he was only the first boss fight and then kind of thrown away for the rest of the game.
Lady Deathstrike is somebody that I don't see pop up a ton of places. So it excites me that they're using somebody that isn't, like, in every single game. Like, we have an X-Men game without Magneto as a villain. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. Just because it would have made it almost like kind of, I guess you want to say like fantastical. I don't know if that's the right word I'm looking for here, but it's the thing of like Magneto versus Wolverine. Immediately you're going to get those fanboys who are going to be like, well, it's a mismatch. One, you had to have Sabretooth. I don't think you could have created a Wolverine game, no matter what the storyline is, without having Sabretooth show up in some form. But not having a Magneto and bringing other characters, it allows for you to sort of get more immersed just in whatever storyline they're trying to build, rather than having to look at sort of comic book feats or whatever in a battle like that.
I'm trying to imagine now who would try to make a game based on Wolverine without Sabretooth.
I honestly can't think of one. I don't know if you would want to. Like, it doesn't seem like it would be a fun, well, I guess it could probably still be a fun game, but it would just always seem like something's missing. It seemed like it would be like a Spider-Man game where at some point you don't get just some instance of Venom. Like, obviously the first two Spider-Man, the PlayStation ones, they didn't have a Venom, but you kind of knew that at some point he was coming.
The first one at least had the Venom suit.
True. That is true.
Going into this not using a comic storyline is definitely a choice that they made. And as much as I wish they would have used an actual story, it's still, they're looking at Game Boy Color, so there's only so much you can do.
And that's what I was thinking is part of the reason why they didn't. I couldn't remember the storyline for too many Game Boy Color games, other than probably like when I used to play Pokemon all the time, but that's just the same storyline over and over. I can't remember if they were always just all pretty much beat 'em up games where you just go stage to stage, beat some villains, fight the boss, go to the next stage and do it all over again. Because like you said, there's not a crazy amount that you can do. You kind of just, you're limited to what that, it's probably a 2x2 screen.
Yeah, looking at this Game Boy I have sitting on my desk, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I don't think you can do a crazy amount. Like, even, I'm trying to think, like, even, I know I remember some old Dragon Ball Z games that were for the Game Boy, and that actually might have been Game Boy Advance, now that I'm thinking more into it, where those were storyline driven. But even then, it was, you'd have the text go by at the bottom where that has your little story, and then on the stage, it's really the same. Beat 'em up, you beat these characters up, here's the boss at the end of the stage. I think those sort of storylines are saved for maybe platform games, or at least the console games, rather.
Well, we're going to go try to retcon an actual story into being the one for this game while I drop some promos for a few other shows.
Alright.
The promo space here in Play Comics all April long is also being taken over by a reminder to go and help make sure that any kind of Don't Say Gay bill is not going to stick around. Even better, not going to pass in the first place. But just remember, these are fellow humans along with you. And this kind of treatment is just completely unacceptable. Just since I recorded the intro, I have seen so many worse things come out, and we as a society need to make sure that this kind of thing is just seen as the unacceptable bullshit that it is. So again, if you need some kind of incentive to go be a good person, follow the link in the show notes, head on over to J and Miles Explain the X-Men, see what they're offering as a kind of reward. Know that I would like to do kind of a similar thing. I am not really in a position to be able to do that, but I can highly encourage you to go over there and see what they have to offer. Just know that I will know that you have done something good for society, which really needs to be happening. Those are some great shows to check out, but first let's finish up with this one. So, Didge, we're looking at this game, and as we said, it is a Game Boy Color game, which puts it release, I don't want to think about how many years ago, way too many years ago, because
yeah,
time does not work like that. I mean, realistically though, we're looking at a May of 2001 release. I don't trust actual days for game releases that far back. And this game was developed by Digital Eclipse, who did a lot of ports of stuff at that point. They had done NFL Blitz for Game Boy Color. They had done a bunch of arcade stuff. and published by Activision, who at that point was the Activision we know and have feelings about today.
I didn't know they did an NFL Blitz for Game Boy Color.
Yeah, it was just the Game Boy Color one. So
I didn't even know there was a Game Boy Color Blitz at all.
I keep forgetting it until I run across it, and then, oh yeah, I should know that.
Interesting.
But my friends make fun of me enough for having it on PlayStation and not 64.
I had it for PlayStation 2, so I can't make fun of you for that.
Well, good.
I'm
glad I'm not here
for that. No, not at all.
So 2001, by then, people knew what they were doing with the Game Boy Color. You weren't quite having people push it to the fullest extent that they could, but you know, you were pretty solidly in there. So like we were saying before though, you are really tied up in that screen and the fact that you can't just hope somebody has a big old TV. They've got that little screen, and that's the room that you have to work with.
Yeah. And, I mean, you're tied to that. I'm sure you're not getting a lot of space on that cartridge.
No, I mean, we're looking at a few megabytes, probably. I mean, I know emulator-wise, my friends and I would fit an NES emulator and a couple games on a 3.5-inch floppy.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize they were that small.
Yeah, so there wasn't a ton of room to work with, whether it be screen real estate, size on the cartridge, time, because you had to worry about batteries running out. And yes, even though there was a password system in here, you had to get far enough to be able to get to a password.
Yeah, wow. I forgot about the days of batteries and having to worry about the two double A's, and then you gotta, hopefully if you're going somewhere, you got the little light over it so you can see. Oh, those are some days.
The plot to this one is a pretty simple plot. Lady Deathstrike finds some schematics that allow her to build a weapon that will melt Wolverine's adamantium skeleton. So she decides to make it, and Wolverine has to go and stop her. Very straightforward.
Very straightforward. I mean, I'm interested in what kind of device that would be that can melt an adamantium skeleton. That's interesting.
This is the only place I've heard it mentioned, so I'm assuming one that doesn't work very well.
Yeah, it must, because you would think that if someone was able to make that, that's coming up in the comic runs at least more than once. And then, like, what was her endgame after that? Was it just, all right, I just want to take out Wolverine and I'm done? And then, like, what was the, I want to know that. Like, what is the profit for that?
I guess maybe she thinks Wolverine is the key to the entire team, and if he's not there, they will all just fall over and bow to her greatness, and she can rule everything. Except Wolverine still has his healing factor, he just won't have a skeleton, so I'm not sure how that's gonna work.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. Like, I assumed the melting of the skeleton would be just a little bit too much for the healing factor, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's a situation where, like you said, he's just a blob, I guess, at that point.
I'm just imagining a puddle of Wolverine now.
Oh, that'd be wild. And it seemed like an ill-thought-out plan. Lady Deathstrike could have definitely done better.
I'm hoping this was just part one, and they were going to get to something else later.
That could be true. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Maybe they did. What was Sabretooth's part in this? Like, you would think, like, he always seems to love to go against Wolverine. I don't know how he would take his arch nemesis just completely being out of the picture.
Well, especially when he wasn't the one that took Wolverine out of the picture. That's just horrible.
Right. Like, he'd be more okay if he was able to fight him, But a machine to just melt his skeleton? That doesn't seem like the Sabretooth we know.
No, it's just complete cheating. I don't think there's any way Sabretooth would stand for it. I really want to see them try to remake this on modern consoles now, but try to put a good story with it, because we don't have to worry about battery restrictions, screen restrictions, and everything.
Who knows? Maybe that Wolverine game that's close, I don't remember, I don't know when it's coming out. Maybe that's what the plot's going to be. Maybe they're going to bring some elements into that one.
You heard it here first. If that's what it is, we win.
Breaking news. We cracked it.
One of the things I do really appreciate that they did with this game, though, was they did not try to put any voice acting with it. Because the Game Boy Color just could not handle that at all.
Yeah, that would have been bad. That would have been very bad. And going back to play it, I forgot that those are gonna, that you're just, they're pretty much silent games. You got the, what, the 8-bit audio. And I was like, oh, this, I forgot that this is how we used to play games.
I can remember I would always have music on, like my own music, while I was playing games. Because it's not like I had to pay attention to anything in the game.
Yeah, I think it was always a situation where, like I said, a lot of the time, maybe my brother's playing like the 64 or maybe PlayStation or whatever. So he'd be playing that. I'm on my Game Boy, so we're probably talking, we're doing whatever. And for a while, when I went back to play, it was just silent because I'm just hearing the 8-bit sound and that. And I was like, oh, I got to put something on in the background. This is not what I was meant. This is not what gaming is supposed to be.
Instead, you get those really cool old school, like almost comic panels in there for the cutscenes, and I miss those. I wish those would make a good comeback.
Yeah, I did like that. That's something I think more games should do now, especially with the graphics that we have now. You can create basically a moving comic for the cutscenes. And you can have it where you can still have a voice actor doing this, but instead of it being sort of cinematic, make it like a graphic novel or like a graphic comic type thing, and have it that way. That, I think that would be something that's really cool.
That, or go like the Atlas style character portrait pop up as they're talking. I think that would be really cool too.
Yeah, I think that was. It, especially because no one's doing it, anybody who would try it now, I think it would almost be innovative again, because it'll look sort of like you're trying to pay homage to the old school while still, you know, staying in line with what we have today.
So when you look at Wolverine in games, what is the thing that bothers you the most? Because I want to see if you have the same answer for this that I do. Just in games, across games, not just in this one.
I feel like he's still not used to what we see in the comics. I feel like everything is based just, they make him so just beat him up where it's claws flashing, that's it. Maybe he'll jump, you can stop, get your healing factor, but it's not, I feel like there's no creativity to everything that he can do. It almost feels stunted, I guess, is the best.
We're real close. Like, for me, it's specifically the healing factor, and just the fact that is such a hard gameplay aspect to get in right.
Yeah, and I get it, because yes, you want it for the comic aspect. It makes it true to the comics. But at the same time, if you have that too well in the games, it'll almost make it, I guess, too easy. So I can understand it, just to create some type of difficulty in the game. But I agree. I do think that there's a way that it can be done, and I'm not a game designer, obviously, so I don't know the ins and outs of why they wouldn't want to. But I guess I can get a gist of not wanting it to be too easy, and then you take the fun away on that aspect of it.
This one has a nice touch, though, of having you heal while you hold still. So you still have to actively make it go, and it's not just creeping up while you go along. So I can appreciate this one.
Yeah, and then the touch of obviously each stage has a time limit, so you can't just cheese the ability on all times. Like, if you're getting hit that much that you gotta constantly heal all the way back to the top, you're probably gonna start running against time. So there was that.
I do wish we could get more stealthy Wolverine though, because like you said, he's not just claws out right in your face all the time.
Right, and that's the more fun thing to do, just to just always want to go in, go action. But like you said, he's not that, and we almost lose an aspect of his character by sticking only to that.
Now, if we could figure out a way to get smelling as a gameplay element, that would be pretty sweet.
That'd be interesting.
They did at least mention it here in the cutscene, so it's more than I see in most of the games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably because of the cutscenes that are like the comic panels. You can do more with little things like that. Like, I don't know how you would put that into more of a cinematic thing or a cinematic cutscene where are people going to really care enough, I guess, in that situation.
No, especially on the Game Boy Color. I don't think there's any way you could have pulled it off.
Right. That would have been interesting if they did.
Really, we don't need to jump too much into the plot of this game because it is basically what it says on the tin. Lady Deathstrike has her thing. Wolverine stops her. Assuming you actually win, everyone lives happily ever after.
Yeah, this is probably the most clear-cut plot to a game that I can think of in a long time. It's 3 sentences, and you pretty much got the gist of the game. Sprinkle in a little bit, you fight a couple bosses here and there.
What do you think this game really gets right about Wolverine?
That's an interesting question. I guess on the flip side, they probably did really get the healing factor right. I guess that's the closest thing I can think of. There's not too much to the game. It's like I said, you fight a couple thugs, I guess, and then you fight the boss. But the constant healing factor that you can turn on and off, that's probably the most comic accurate part of it. I'll probably have to go with that.
Yeah, I think that plus the fact that you're looking at Wolverine villains as bosses instead of just overall X-Men villains. So the fact that they narrowed things down there really helps this one out as well.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it would have been weird, like we said at the beginning of, the main boss is Magneto, because then you're like, where's the rest of the team?
And what do you think this game really gets wrong about Wolverine?
I gotta go back to that just only hack and slash. Like I said, you lose so much of the character by only being a beat-em-up thing. And that special where like he's slashing or going across the stage, but you lose health with it. I didn't understand that, and that was something that was really weird and I would say wrong.
Like, I get it maybe from a game design perspective, just so you can't spam that move all over the place, but I really wish they would have found another way to deter you from doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you could have easily did a situation of where you got to build up a health or a special bar. Like, that wouldn't have been something new to Game Boy Color. I'm almost positive there were other games that had special bars. But to make it lose your health almost seemed like, he didn't hurt himself by slashing at people.
Or you could have just made him be tired and have a few frames of just like panting animation as he catches his breath.
That too, yeah. There's multiple ways, I guess, yeah, you could have done it.
So if you knew somebody who wanted to get into Wolverine as a character. Just this game in a vacuum, no other games exist. Would you give them this game as a primer course?
And nothing else exists? I don't think you can. I don't think you get enough of his character. You definitely don't get enough of his backstory. And then you're probably going to be confused as to, well, why do they want to melt his skeleton? Like, we know the story and we were still confused as to what her endgame was. I couldn't imagine what somebody who doesn't, who's never read anything about Wolverine or X-Men at all, and this is sort of their primer course, they're going to come out of this so confused, especially reading, playing, anything else. They're going to be like, well, why isn't everybody trying to melt his skeleton? Clearly that's the way you win.
Yeah, I think the problem with this one as a primer course is you have Wolverine who wants to be the loner, but he can't be a loner because he's always finding somebody who wants his help with stuff. He's always going and helping out the rest of the team and kind of holding it over their head, especially when it's Cyclops, because Cyclops is a jerk and deserves it. But Wolverine is just the guy who just wants to be alone, but keeps finding a reason to go back to the team.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, and I think that's sort of the downfall of this game. Because they tried to create a story that's taken out of it, I hate to keep going back to it, I feel like you just lose so much of the character. Like, this didn't have to be an X-Men game. This could have been almost anything. This could have been a Mega Man game. Somebody was trying to dissolve his suit. And I don't think it would have changed anything.
Or coming at it from another angle, this could have been, just give me a throwaway reason why he can't get together with the team. And then you have that reason, you're good to go for why he's all by himself.
Yeah, that's also true. Like, I get it. It's a Game Boy Color game. They probably did as much as they could. But I think they could have did more.
It's definitely a game worth playing. If you guys can chase it down, give it a try. Like, you're not going to hate yourself for trying to play this one. But it's not one that I'm going to go back to all the time.
Yeah, no, it's a fun time waster. Like I said, even going back to playing it, I just found, you know, just an emulator online with it, and I'm pretty sure you can find it browser-based. And it was so much fun to play, but when you start diving deep and trying to use it as something that's more to just the fandom as a whole, that's where it starts to drop the ball, because it is one of those things that's basically outside of the sandbox. It's just out there on its own.
But this is definitely the kind of game that I would grab my Game Boy and go into the bathroom with it.
One of those things where it's a time waster. I think that's the best way to put it.
Exactly. And on a completely unrelated note, who is your favorite Muppet?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I've never been asked that. Animal. Is that his name? Oh, yeah, the red one? Animal? Oh, I'm not great with Muppets. Like I said, I'm not great with him, but he's the one that's wild, and he makes me laugh the most.
He's the one that reminds me the most of Wolverine, too. So that fits really well with this.
Yeah, I guess it does. I didn't think about it that way.
Well, Didge, it has been great talking to you about all this. If people want to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
Yeah, you can find me pretty much everywhere online at Didge_D-D-E-E. But more importantly, you can find the Geek Set Podcast everywhere, also online at Geek Set Podcast. We're on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and really anywhere that you want to listen to your podcast. And again, watch videos and stuff on YouTube.
And just like always, we'll have links to all that stuff down in the show notes, because clicking links is so much easier than trying to remember how to spell things.
Oh, for sure. That'd be the bane of my existence if I had to remember how to spell everything.
I don't even remember my own phone number most of the time. So if I had to remember how to spell things on top of that, no, I'm done.
I can understand that for sure.
As always, if you want to hear more from me, the best place is to head on over to playcomics.com, where you can find links to all the social media stuff, everything you could possibly want, including how to support the show, which for a specific spot is playcomics.com/support. I know that's really hard to remember. All throughout the month of April, at least, we'll see how long this goes, because we'll see how long this has to go. Any kind of profit, proceeds, whatever word you want to use here, that I get for doing the show, which includes everything, will be going to Equality Florida or a similar organization if something else pops up. Because quite frankly, I don't trust the world to not have another thing pop up right now. Speaking of support, you could be like some of the wonderful people who do help financially support the show. Be like Carl Antonovitz or Dan McMahon or Kate or Ono Litglass, who help keep the lights on by giving money every month through Patreon. You can also sign up through the Play Comics website if that's more your speed, trying to figure out a way I can get Ko-fi or Buy Me a Coffee in there. That's going to get worked out. But you can also always support the show by just shoving it into somebody's ear holes after getting consent from them, because getting things just randomly shoved in your ear holes is not fun. Don't forget that Play Comics is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, home to a bunch of other wonderful shows, the best of which, I think, besides mine, because I am switching mine from being the worst to the best, is Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., because they let me go on and talk. And it's a whole lot of fun, and I get to interact with new people, and it's fun. Right now we're looking at Moon Knight. We have a lot of Anthony Sitko on there. I know you're a fan of his show as well, over with Capes on the Couch. If you like the music that we're rudely talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character.
Oh, sorry, I was coughing at the same time. I know,
coffee is contagious now, especially over the internet.
All right.